All right, we turn to the page which begins Simen Kuf Ches. Although on that page, the very end of Kuf Zayin, we didn't conclude Kuf Zayin. And since there's something quite relevant there, I'd like to read the ending. It's page, is it numbered? No. Oh no, you have to turn. Yeah, I think it's page 500 is the number on top of the page on the copies. Yeah. We're going to learn Simen Kuf Ches today, Mirtz Hashem, but first, the ending of Simen Kuf Zayin. Simen Kuf Zayin, as you may recall from 2 weeks ago, we discussed the idea that if a person is cooking as a pot of food, and he sees a creature floating around inside, and it's something that would make the entire pot treif, so he has to be careful that right now it's batel b'shishim. There's no problem. He should not pluck it out with a spoon, at least with a metal spoon. If he wants to use a plastic spoon that'll throw out, it's fine. He should not pluck it out with a metal spoon, because if he does so, in the spoon the treifus is going to be more than a 60th. And since it's going to be more than a 60th, it's going to make the contents of the spoon treif, make the spoon treif. And later, when he uses the spoon for other food, it's going to keep on chetichat nasnevel. It's going to cause a lot of problems. That's what we learned last week. It was relatively simple. It was one issue, and that is the status of a zvuv, of a fly. If a fly is nice and tam l'shvach or nice and tam l'fgam, as I mentioned, worms are considered nice and tam l'shvach in Simen Pei Dalet. A zvuv, according to the Mechaber, is nice and tam lufgam. A fly is something which does not have a good taste, and it's nice and tam lufgam. According to the Mechaber, it does not aser in a taruvis. However, the shach holds that it does aser a taruvis, because safal b'kein aser a taira. And therefore, there's a certain amount of disagreement as to what would happen if a fly was scooped out with things from a dover, from a kli rishon. The Rama ends with the following case. This Rama is talking not about a fly, but about some that's nice and tam l'shvach, a small fish that's floating around, or let's say a worm that's floating around in a kli rishon, and someone takes a spoon and takes it out. Aval m'haya ma'amid atashal imo iser b'kaf. If you spoon out, you're cooking a soup and there's something floating on top, and you take a spoon, you remove the worm together with some liquid. You didn't put the worm back in. You threw away the worm, but the spoon you put into the pot again. Now, it's not enough shishim against the worm. Nitshishim against the total iser that was in the spoon, that absorbed in the spoon. He means that the mamashis that was in the spoon became iser. The ma'ata tafshel that was in the spoon together with the worm, it all was nas in the veila. And therefore, the blias in the spoon of iser are keneged not only the worm, but also the liquid that was in it. What? This is the Ramo. It's all a kli rishon now. Absolutely. Now, yes. A plastic spoon is a problem, but you throw it out. If you can afford to throw out a metal spoon, the plain metal spoon is also not a problem. This Ramo is the makar for the very famous ladle shaila, which the Taz and Yen the Simen Tzadik Beis is Marichin, and the Mishnah Berurah talks about in Hilchos Shabbos. The question of whether a ladle, when you ladle soup out of a kli rishon and you put it into a bowl, let's say on Shabbos is where it comes up, and the bowl is brought to the table, is that bowl a kli sheni? If it's a kli sheni, then we're machmir in a kli sheni not to put in things that could cook, to put in a raw carrot or onion or radish. Some people like radish with the soup. Or, one second. So that it's a shaila. The shaila is, does the ladle have a din of a klisheini? And then the supol is the klishlishi. Or is the ladle also part of the klirishin? And then the supol is a klisheini. The Taz brings a raya from this Ramah that the ladle is a klirishin. Because the mechaber Ramah make on a klisheini. If the ladle is a klisheini, then it wouldn't be mavliya, then the worm wouldn't be mavliya into the soup or the tray for fish, whatever it is you're taking out, wouldn't be mavliya. And hayais, that here it appears that the Ramah considers it a klibishin mamish. So it appears that he holds that a ladle that is immersed in a klibishin, and then things are taken out, this is a raya that it should have a din of a klibishin. This is what?
When it's in the pot,
there's no problem because the shishim can negate the worm.
As you take a ladle out, half the thing is in and half the thing is out. You have the worm separated from the rest of the.
So Maman Afshach, when the worm is still connected to the klirishin, the shishim. The moment it's disconnected from the klirishin, unless you'll say that the spoon is rounded and the bottom is still in. Look in Shach Zayin. What the Taz says there, the Shach says here, Bekitzer. Shach Zayin, Nas Nevela Bekaf. Onu Masikin Rakafa Hishaita Kumayakadeira Atzma. He says, we consider the spoon a klirishin, just like the pot itself. Meachisha Itzia Ata Meyakadeira Reisachas. The Choshev Klirishin Lachumra. Ken Kasabisaveheta. So, and that's it. That's what he says. That the spoon, the pshat in this Ramah is that the spoon, which was immersed in the klirishin, right when it's taken out, it still has the heat of a klirishin. And therefore, the spoon, the ladle, whatever it is, still has a din of a klirishin. And as I say, this is a chumrah.
Now, you're better off serving the fly and then taking it out.
You're better off
serving the fly.
Who are you going to serve the fly
serving
to?
Serving the fly with the soup.
Oh, you're better off. Well, if you have a ladle that's big enough to take shishim plus the fly, you can serve it. Otherwise, how do you get it out? Best thing is to
you know.
It doesn't matter if it's on the fire.
What's the svara?
Now, the svara is that the kula of a klishi shayni is kederis. Mitzananais is the fanis makaris, is that the walls cool it off. So svara is that if this was in a klirishin, the walls were heated by the klirishin. And therefore, there's no cool of the fanis makaris. They don't know svara the other way. Okay, I don't know. Maybe because it wasn't, these walls weren't on the fire.
I mean, the way the shalas be, the klishani is a klirishin, that's
what the shalas was, right?
So
now you're asking about putting chala into the soup. The Mishnah Brura is makel, if as I recall, with a tziruf. If you want, you know, there was a time I taught Hilchos Shabbos, and I asked the boys a stira. The Mishnah Brura paskins a ladle is a klirishin, and then he says later regarding putting bread into challah into the soup. He says it was taken out with a ladle; it could be makel. So it's a stira. First he says that a ladle is a klirishin. Then he says, putting in bread, if you use the ladle, you could be mekel. The teretz is that this is an example of a tziruf, of a sniff. Mishnah Berurah is b'tzarif to machlokes. There's a machlokes if yesh bishul achar afiyah. We know ein bishul achar bishul. You're allowed to put a knedel, even if it's cold, into the klirishin if it's not on the fire. And certainly into a cliche, because ein bishul acha bishul, the knedel is pre-cooked. So there's no way it's a bishul on the fire. It's mezik mevashul. Once off the fire, you can even put in a klirishin. Ein bishul acha bishul. What about bishul achar afiya? So that's a machlekes rishayim. If yesh bishul achar afiya, ein bishul achar afiya. And although we're machmir, really rav rishayim amekel. So it's a very strong tziruf. We're mekel on ein bishul. Acharafia with any tziruf, and with the tziruf of the kula of a ladle, we're mekel, and that's also cliche. In itself is a machlokes, is a suffix. So when you have soup, you can be mekel to put the challah in the soup, assuming the lady of the house served it. And my wife's not home and I serve it, we just tilt the soup pad and pour it into the bowls and then wipe up the table, wipe up the counter afterwards. Then you don't have the kula because then there's no use of a ladle. But it's a straight cliche, but there's no kula of the ladle. All ladles are the same. We know that all the ladlefuls are the same. Obviously, if it sits there, it's... Okay, so that's the first issue. The second issue is also in Shah Zayin, which I mentioned to you earlier. Ule'inyin izvuv oyser b'tamay. The question of whether a fly, the end of Shah Zayin, halfway through, if the zvuv could answer with its taste, hiskim arav l'machaber v'siyatay, the machaber and the ramah amekel, avol teiv. But the Shach argues, harei rabu apayskim rishayinim v'achrayinim le'iser. Most rishayim and achrayim. A machmir on a fly. Bechein kasev v'sevet the koch of zayin. Bechein noyegin. Bechein kasev ram padava. Bechein noyegin. Bechein kasev mar shabbos. In the heter shalayi. B'sifrei perikin anoshes imim mentes. Mekabalas marash. Bechein noyegin. So he says that we're machmir on a fly. Umiyu. However, b'makim have some merubah. Shasat chaka. Gavna. Nira das maram padava. B'tshuva lahati. Bechein pasiv bach. Miyu. Bechala v'shikru. L'kuliyama. Asa k'mash nizbar. Sisim k'v dalin. In certain foods, it's nice in time of gam for sure, but basically the shach's psak is that a zvuv aser is not because the shach holds that flies taste good, because he holds that afal pikein aser tayra afilachi aser tayra. There's takan nice in time of gam, it shouldn't aser things, but afilachi aser tayra, the tayra aser flies, and therefore halacha lemaisa when noyig. That the time of his zvuv asers. If it's alive, then when they, that it doesn't ask. Live things are not matter.
What's the svar saying? Even though it's nice and
harmless, afal pikein aser tayra. That's the lashon of the Rishayim.
So a worm you wouldn't have to come on to. That's
correct. We had it simukov tala this season, and that afal pikein aser tayra.
Is that because you hold Tam Kikadereisa?
We hold Tam Kikadereisa even by these things. Oh, we only say it by barriers, which the Torah gave a separate category of this thing. Okay. There, it's not that the taste is no good. There, it's Kate's Balma, it doesn't give taste at all. Okay, we begin Simen Kuf Ches. The proper title for Simen Kuf Ches is the title of Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa. And Simen Kuf Ches deals with this issue. And I know there's a question that many are going to ask, and it's a legitimate question. We'll start, and when someone asks it, I'll postpone it till after Sif Aleph. The Shaila of Recha Milsa is a Shaila in two sugyas in Shas. One is in Psachim, and one is in Mesechtas Avodah Zarah. There are two sugyas of Recha Milsa. Psachim is Dafayim Vav, and Avodah Zarah is Samach Beis, or Samach Gimel is in the Samachs. The question is Recha Milsa, a smell is something, or Recha Lav Milsa, it's a machlokes. There are four cases of Recha Milsa which we are going to discuss in this siman. In Svara, if we'd be learning the Gemara, you would tell me, what does one thing have to do with the other? They're totally different cases. I'm asking, but we're going to learn all four of them. There are, I would call it two and two. There's the first case of Recha Milsa, which is Sif, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, which we're going to learn this week, is a question of a person who cooks two foods or roasts two foods in an oven simultaneously, and the Reyach of a food, you know that when you're cooking, when you're especially roasting something in the house, you walk into the house, you smell it right away. There is a reyach that comes from a food, even cooked foods, but certainly roasted foods, have a reyach. The question is, recha milsa or recha lav milsa? If I am, at the same time, have a potato kugel and chicken roasting in the oven, does the potato kugel become fleishig? If I have challah there, does the challah become fleishig because of the reyach of the chicken, which certainly has some connection to the bread.
Now we have to recall, I think, that
That's the question everyone's going to ask. Zaya, we're going to have to postpone our discussion of Zaya, but whatever we're up to at 1:45, we're going to stop and talk about Zaya. So we can continue next week, but it's impossible to learn the Simen without trying to have an appreciation of Zaya. Now, Zaya and Recha are two different things. Okay? Zaya is steam, it's liquid, which becomes vaporized and travels. And Recha is even something that has no Zaya. When you bake a challah, there's no steam coming from the challah. It dries as it bakes, but nevertheless, there's Recha. The house you walk in, they bake the challah, you smell the challah. So we're going to discuss Recha, at least for the majority of this discussion. So case number one of Recha is where you're cooking or roasting two things simultaneously in an oven. The question in the Shas comes up in two cases. One, kosher and non-kosher. If you're cooking nevela, like the first case here, basak sheir and basak nevela in an oven. You have to remember, they had community ovens once upon a time. Not every house had an oven. And you put something in the oven, and the guy put things in the oven. And the shaila is whether that causes problems of recha milsa. And the second, which the Rama brings, the question of a part of a food with a fleishig of food. Similar shaila, bread, baking in the oven at the same time as roast meat or something fleishig. Those are two similar shaylos of Recha Milsa. And we're going to learn differences if it is covered, if it's not covered, there'll be a number of chilukim. And this discussion is simultaneously. Zeh achar zeh is a separate discussion which will be mentioned here. Issue number two of Recha Milsa. Now this discussion is in Masechtes Pesachim. There's another sugya of Recha Milsa in Masechtes Avodah Zarah. It begins with a shaila, which is here in Sifhei, actually, of smelling something that's osur bahanoah. The case there is this wine, which is fermenting in an oven, which is aging in a barrel, and there were professionals whose job was to smell, by the smell, to be able to recognize when it was ready, when it wasn't ready. The shaila is, you have a yid, this is his parnasa, he's a wine smeller, and he walks around, he's going to take a sniff of the barrel, but now it's yayin nesach. Do we say recha milsahi, and it's also to take a smell of it? Or recha lav milsahi? This is the original case of Masechtes Avodah Zarah. And here too, there's a second case, which is a secondary shaila, which is in general whether you're allowed. You're walking down the street on Pesach, and there's a pizza store that's open. You say, that pizza smells good. I can't wait. So, do you say recha milsahi, also bahanoa, or recha lav milsahi? Or do you say that recha lav milsa? This is obviously something that's mutzah bahanoa. I'm not talking. No one holds that smelling is eating. The question is whether it's a significant hanoah, the smell. Now, we can sit here and argue about it. Is the sugya of Recha Milsa in sugya number one the same as sugya number two or not? The problem is compounded by the following. In Masechtes Avodah Zarah, it's a machlokes Abaya and Rava. Abaya holds Recha Milsahi, and Rava holds Recha Lav Milsahi. You'll know, according to the rules of Shas, we would paskin Recha Lav Milsahi. In Masechtes Pesachim, the Machloikis is Rav and Levi. Rav says Recha Milsahi, and Levi says Recha Lav Milsahi. According to the rules of Shas, the halacha is like Rav, Beisurim against Shmuel, but in general, halacha is like Rav against the Yachid. And we would paskin Recha Milsahi. So there are two ways out of the quandary, and it's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos says they're two different sugyas, two totally different, no shaykes one to the other, the same language recha milsahi, but they're two sugyas. We pass them like Rav in this sugya, we pass them like Rava in that sugya. Smelling is mutter, and two things in an oven is aser, And there's a problem. The problem is in Avodah Zarah, when it brings rayas to the Machlokes Rav and Abaya, it does talk about psachim like shailas. So Tosfos has to start to split hairs and say, well, this case is different, that case is different, and to struggle. Rashi, on the other hand, Rashi says, look, Machlokes Abaya and Rava is a non-exception. Halacha k'Rava sefer yalkigam. It's an absolute rule. Machlokes Rav and others is not an absolute rule. There are exceptions to it. And when you have two sugyas, Rashi holds the two sugyas are the same. So we follow the rule of halacha k'Rava chutz miyalkigam, and therefore we paskin recha lav milfihi, and that is Rashi Shita. It goes with the general mahalach. A number of years ago, I once gave a shiur on this. The Rav Chaim Voloshin is klal that the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, the reason they get into so many arguments is not just because they're family. It's because the Rashi Shita is that pshat carries over svara. The pshat, being faithful to the Lashon HaShas, carries over Svara. And Taisa Shita is that Svara carries over Lashainis. And it seems to be consistent here. The Machlokes, two Gemaras both say Recha Milsa, Recha La Milsa. Rashi is inclined to try to make the two Sugya Shtim. And Taisvis says they don't Shtim. The Rayas seem to make them similar. So Taisa says, well, you have to be Machalik this way and that way. Now, fortunately, we are not going to deal with Tosfos at all, because Tosfos Shita is not brought at all in Halacha, because both the Rambam and the Rif paskin like Recha Lav Milsa across the board. They paskin Recha Lav Milsa. Apparently, they don't say Pshat the Gemara, but apparently they hold like Rashi, and they hold that we paskin Recha Lav Milsa. It's interesting, if you look at the first Be'er HaGoyla, even before we learned the Shulchan Aruch, Be'er HaGoyla starts with Lashon HaRambam, U'kedas HaRif Rabbi. Interesting. He uses the Lashon Kedas HaRif Rabbi, like the Rif who was his Rebbe, Shevi Be'Perek Zayin, D'chol Plukta the Rav Levi, B'Psachim Dafayin Vav, U'pasa Kaleich Levi D'Recha Lav Milsahu, U'lachatchila Aser. At the end he says, Chen Kosar Atur B'Shem Rashi. So here it's l'chatchila asa v'dayik la tsalu ka'amar v'loy ka'amar tsaylin. Let me explain that. In order to bring the two sugyas as close as possible, what the Rishonim did is they explained certain aspects of the Gemara in Psachim as l'chatchila dinim. In other words, what we're going to learn is that l'chatchila we're machmir that recha milsa. L'chatchila we don't put kosher meat and non-kosher meat in the oven at the same time. B'di'evet we paskin recha lav milsa like Rava. We try to make Rava as close as possible to the chumris of Masechtas Pesachim, and we say that it's a b'di'evet and a l'chatchila. Now we are going to see that the geder of b'di'evet l'chatchila here is much more chomer. And that is, that normally, let's say a kli ain't a ben yaymai. You have a treif kli, it's not a ben yaymai. So l'chatchila you don't cook in it, b'di'evet you do. Let's say I have a fleishig of pat, and I already cooked in it farina. It's not a ben yaymai. Let's not say farina, let's say something parav. I cooked spaghetti in it, a fleishig of pat. I want to serve it with a milch kamil. I forgot. I use the fleshig of pad. But say, ain't a ben yaima, you call a rav. The rav tells you, no problems. You can serve it with a milch kamil. You can mix it with a chatchila with cottage cheese. Because it's ain't a ben yaima. Even if it would be a trefa pad, ain't a ben yaima. Once you cook it, the food is 100% par. That's true all over Yeridaya. In this simin, it's not that way. In this simin, we're going to say, we're machnir lechatchila and recha milsa. If you have in the oven at the same time roasting chicken and a potato kugel or a challah, and assuming it's within the guidelines which are the machlekes of Recha, there'll be exceptions. assuming it's within those guidelines, we're going to say, listen, the chatchila, don't eat the challah with cream cheese. The chatchila recha milsehi. Now, again, everything we're talking about today is when it's cooked simultaneously or baked simultaneously. Zeh achar zeh is not this simen. If you bake challahs in a pan in a fleishiga oven, you can eat it lechatchila with cream cheese afterwards. We're discussing today when it's simultaneously, when it's hot, both of them simultaneously in the same oven, the same time, and even the oven's still hot as long as you took it out. Recha milsa is only when they're there at the same time, and that's our total. Everything we discussed today is that. So here, the guideline of lechatchila is much more chamor. And it seems to me, you have to learn the sugya, but that it's done to accommodate the sugya. If you look in the Lashon of the Rishayim, it's done to accommodate the sugya in Pesachim and make it shtim with the sugya in Avodah Zarah. So this is the Hagdama. One more Hagdama. The Aruch HaShulchan writes at the beginning of the Siman that we're going to talk about the lomdis of Recha Milsa, Recha La Milsa. If you take a roll, and you're eating it, and it's a roll, there's nothing in it, but you can taste the salami that was in it, with it in the same bag, even cold. You can taste it, you can say what it was with, you know, it happens, especially salami, but the fish, you can taste exactly what was with it. He says, if you can taste it, we're machmir on Recha. We're talking here, lomdis. We're not talking, he says, in a practical matter, if you taste it, then be machmir. You may tell me salami, you're not tasting the meat, you're tasting the spices, I don't know. But, yeah, he's saying, what?
It's really in your mind, the smell is so strong that you feel you're tasting
salami. That is what taste is.
It may be in your mind, I don't know. I'll tell you a funny thing. Taste... I agree that taste is in your mind. I had surgery about 4 years ago, and they put a little wire in my ear. In my right ear, I wasn't hearing well. They took out one of the little bones, they stuck in a small wire. So now I hear well. For years, I'd never put the telephone to my left ear. I always put it to my right ear. So they did surgery, and amazing. They go in, they make a cut in the top of the canal, they snake it in with a television thing, and... pull out a bone, put in a wire, and presto, you go home 2 hours later, and you don't even have to change your battery. And they told me, I asked them what the side effects are, you know, maybe it gets rusty or something. They told me, no, the only side effect is that sometimes you're going to taste metal. When I swim, when it gets wet, my right side of my mouth, I feel like I'm eating metal, I taste metal. And I realized, the amazing thing, taste is in the mind. It's an amazing thing. There's no metal in my mouth. And you taste the metallic taste. It's incredible. Yes. No, you do worry about it. If you can taste it, it's always awesome. Yes. No. All right, so let me tell you, you can say taste is in the mind. It may be in the mind, but if you taste it, if you're not sure if it's in your mind, go in another room. And offer it to someone and see what they're tasting.
Did you get that surgery? They would say that the side effect is that you would taste chazer in your mouth?
Absolutely. It's not taste. There's no hanos me'ayin. Now, let me just, again, I want to say, this is a hagdama. The Aruch HaShulchan's hagdama. He says, if you're tasting it, forget about sli and bishul. If it's cold and you taste it, bang, it's awesome. I asked around, what's the din? If I eat fleishiks, and 6 hours later, 6 hours are up. I still feel it. Salami, you still taste it 6 hours later. Some people are that way with challah. The challah, they still taste it later. So I ask people, you know, one of the reasons we wait 6 hours is because it's my shechtam. So what do you do with this? So every Baal HaLacha told me, 6 hours you're allowed to eat it. I asked the doctors, you know, why do I taste it? They say, it's gone. Doctors say that after an hour, it's not in the stomach anymore. It's all gone. The after effects last, but the bad... So I don't know. And that halach, I'm not changing. But the Aruch HaShulchan says this as a hagdama. So we are going to discuss the kanu lahaba. If bepayol, you don't taste it. You know, if it's potato kugel, you don't taste the roast beef. The roast chicken, you eat the kugel. That's our shaila, and again, the shaila has nothing to do with waiting 6 hours. We're talking now about treifus or shaylus of basar b'chamer. So now we learned the mechaber.
With basar b'chamer would be to have it with milk or
at the same time. Right, at the same time. So let's first see the mechaber. The mechaber is relatively simple. He just gives us the rules of when you say recha milsa, and the whole thing is l'chatchila, and when you say recha lav milsa, and you're allowed to be meikel, even l'chatchila. B'dievet, it's mutter in all cases so far for our discussions. Let's see. Ain't seilim basak sheira in basak nevela, eishel behema tmeya, b'taner echad. Do not roast at the very same time kosher and non-kosher meat. Despite the fact that they're not touching, one cannot roast the two of them together. That's l'chatchila. There's no difference. Basar is an example. V'im tzalon, if a person already roasted them, it's a b'di'evet. Harizeh mutter, it's mutter. The star points to the prichadash who says b'di'evet rechalav milsa. Because b'di'evet we pass in rechalav milsa. Even if the treifa piece of meat was very fatty, and the kosher was lean, so there's more logically more of a reason for the fats to be absorbed, it's still mutter. But that's all b'di'evet. What about l'chatchila? Imatanu gadol, if it's a large oven, shemachzik yud beis esrainim, so large that it holds 12 esrainim, we're going to have to discuss how much that is, and piv pasuach, and it has an opening, mutal l'tzlaisam bay, it's mutal l'chatchila, uvelvad sh'loy yigu b'zeh b'zeh, as long as they don't touch. Now this is going to be an important question for us. Are our ovens mutal l'chatchila? Let's just finish the Shulchan Aruch. V'im echad mechusa b'kayra. That's the second exception. If one of them is covered with a plate, a bebatzek, or even if it's covered with dough, so we have two exceptions, two cases that are mutal l'chatchila. One is a taner gadol l'piv pasuach, a big oven that has an opening that relieves some of the reyach can go out. And the second, if one of them is covered, so then it's not maziah to the others. Clearly, when you go into a workplace and you wrap up something, you put it into an oven, or in the airplane where they put kosher food in the oven, it's echad mechusa, the kosher is covered, and therefore there's no issue. Covered is a no-brainer, it's an easy case, no problem. Well, how big is a tanur gadol? Are our ovens tanur gadol or not? So listen very carefully, and we're going to see. How much is yud beis esrainim? So the Gilyam Arshah brings the very last Gilyam Arshah on this side, Shemazik Yud Beis Esrainim, Kol Isarin Hushir Chala Mem Gimel V'Chaymish Beya. And Isarin is the volume of 43 1/5 eggs. And whatever that volume is, that is the shear. What is the volume? What is the volume of 43 eggs? So we measured it years ago using two methods. There are two methods of measuring, through using 43 eggs and the displacement, and the finger method, the method of using etzba. And what I had in my notes is that using the extra large eggs, which everyone seemed to hold was a beya benini, it came to 87, the volume of 87 fluid ounces. Using the finger method, it came to 125 ounces, which is the tzlach's ha'ara, that the two shiurim, this katnu abeyim, that. So it comes out to somewhere between, let's call it 100 fluid ounces, somewhere in between. Is the volume of Mem Gimel Beya? How much is 100 fluid ounces? It's so you have a not weight but volume. Let's say a soda is 67 ounces. So the question is: are our ovens enough to hold 12? The volume of 12. 12 of this measure, let's say. Yeah, we didn't measure the fifth of the bay.
Fifth times 12.
Okay. It's an estimate. So let's say, could you fit in the volume of 12 is 12 times 67 ounces. Now the bottle adds a little volume to it. So let's call it 15 bottles of soda. Do they fit into our ovens? I think they do. I think the volume just about would fit. You have to remember that we're talking about the total volume. There's a lot of wasted space when you put it in. But basically, it would seem that our ovens qualify for Tanur Gadol. Do our ovens qualify for Pip Pasuach? Our ovens have vents. And at least on our parapham, the assumption is that we're considered Pip Pasuach, it has a vent. You barely see the vent, but it's made to vent some of the heat out, and obviously some of the Reicha comes out. And according to that, it's wonderful. We have a Tanur Gadol, this whole simon. Now they are top ovens or microwave ovens, which don't have that amount of volume. Those are Tanur cut. But our ovens would appear to be a Tanur Gadol, except, I'll answer you into words, except the Pesachei Tshuva tells us to look at some inside the Zayins of Katan Zayin. And there he says an incredible chumrah. He brings there the very last Pesachei Tshuva in the Halachas Abasa B'Chala. Ayin B'Tshuvas Yad Aliyah. He quotes the Yad Aliyah, the Pesachei Tshuva in the end of Siman Tzadik Zayin. He says, the Pesachei Tshuva said that the Yad Aliyah says, Ein tzarech she'ekar ki yaseh shel tanur machzik kol kach. Doesn't mean that the floor of the oven can hold 43 bayim times 12. That the whole space of the oven, that's no problem. It means when they were talking about holding Yud Beis Esrayim, they were talking about baking chalas. Chalas that's a tefach high, similar to our chalas, that you can fill up the oven with that volume of challah on the carcass of the oven. No household oven or commercial oven can hold maybe the matzah bakery oven. But our ovens, according to this, are a tanur cotton. As I state in Prima Gadim. Why do we do it in Prima Gadim that flies in the face of Pashup Shat? It's Pashup Shat in the Shulchan Aruch. You look in the Aruch HaShulchan. Apparently he didn't see the Prima Gadim. He just says, Yud Beis Esrayim, tanur cotton. Yeah, he doesn't say a word about it. I think everyone who talks about it and doesn't say this means Vakula. What are you going to do? It's a Prima Gadim. It's a Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim was Zaycha that his halachas in Yeridei are halacha l'maisa. And since we're talking about doing things l'chatchila, the evidence is not usher anyway. So we have to worry about this Prima Gadim and his shita, which would make our ovens a tanur katan. So again, our large ovens, the typical household oven, according to the Pashtus, is a Tanur Gadol. According to Prima Gadol, Schiddush is a Tanur Katan. L'may Nafkamina. Nafkamina is L'chatchila, whether we have to worry about Recha Milsa. Shulchan Aruch said, we pass L'chatchila Recha Milsa, unless it's a Tanur Gadol Pip Pasuach, unless it's a big oven with an opening. And we're not sure that our ovens qualify. Bakery ovens will qualify. But if our ovens qualify, and for that reason, we are going to discuss our ovens as if they're a Tanur Katan, and l'chatchila we're going to be machmir. What did Rebelski say here? You didn't get it yet. Rebelski is up to Kofay, I think.
No, we're in
Bosvachai. You're in Bosvachai, that's
Tzani.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry.
Shouldn't it not make a difference how big and small the two items you have in the oven are? You've got two very small things in an oven, or two big things in a bigger oven.
I hear the argument. I'm not sure how to answer that. I hear the argument.
Don't the Paiskim say now, like the Prima Gadim is saying, Tanurim Shalanu? We're going to say that everybody had ovens this big?
Who says Tanurim Shalanu?
It has.
What does he say about Tanurim Shalanu? He says that
after the Tanur Katan commercial hem, I would Tanurim Shalanu HaGadayim Shar.
I would agree that the Stam Lashon of everyone would be Mashmah now like the Prima Gadim. I'm not sure what to say. If we are Mashmah, not Mashmah. I don't remember the sheer how Rapam said about it. You still don't have enough for. But if you're going to fill up the halal, it's not mistaver that the Prima Gadim would say the exact same oven with the racks in, would have one halacha without the racks in.
You
mean it's about a long, low oven? Maybe. I can't answer. The Prima Gadim seems like a Chumri Yaseira. And I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Are we Machma? Not Machma. We're going to discuss worst case scenario Let's say our ovens are a Tanner Cotton. It could be better, it could be a Tanner Gadol. But we're going to discuss Tanner Cotton because for us, it's not an issue of, it's all an issue of L'chatchila. We're not going to ask anything b'diavad anyway. So this is what we're going to discuss.
We can cover it or
L'chatchila? You can cover L'chatchila. Yeah, if you cover it, L'chatchila, you can bake two things in the oven. Even treif and kosher, certainly basar and chalav, as long as one has to be covered. It's good. The issue of zeya, though, we still have to discuss. We're talking stuff about reicha. Chetchila means betos. It means that you put something in to bake, and somebody, a guy, came and put something in the tray to bake. Yeah, no, that'd be something. I had a shiloh this Shabbos with someone who will go unnamed, a relative of a mespal, who was baking her food for Shabbos in the oven. And she came home, and the gaita, who I always tell you not to trust the gaita put her lunch in at the same time in the oven. Mamish, this case. You know, the gaita put the same thing in the oven at the same time. And the gaita was working there for many years. And she called Reb David Cohn. And I didn't speak to her. I spoke to her. Her father spoke to me. And said, Reb David Cohn gave her a psak. She's never calling him again. he told her that throw away everything. You have to kasher your oven. He said, how can you have a guy in the house that doesn't even know that she's not allowed to put treifas in the oven? I mean, you can't trust her even if she knows, but she put a treifa lunch in at the same time as your Shabbos food. He told her she has to cash all the silverware in her house, but he was makel on the pots. He said, she probably doesn't use your pots. She probably does. He was makel. I think it's a kuli yaseira. Someone is there many years.
Silverware she's using.
He said that he said you have to cash all the silverware, which I think is... You know, I would have told her on the phone, I would never eat in your house. You know, I would have told her to get one of the people who kashers, from people for Bali Tshuva, to come in the house and kasher your whole house. It's certain that the guy does treifas in the house all the time. Unfortunately, there are many people in our shul whose homes I would not eat in, because the homes are not kasher. It's treifas in the house. You know, town kicker is very nice. And, you know, you start clearing Recha Milsa, Recha La Milsa, you know, it's... All right, so let's learn the Ramah.
When you talk about covering, how it has to be covered tight?
It doesn't have to be covered. It has to be covered, what we consider to be covered, that Zaya can't get in. It doesn't have to be sealed. It has to be covered. If you wrap an aluminum foil, that's adequate. Now let's learn the Ramah. It's a challenging Ramah, but it's not as frightening as it looks. The Ramah, instead of a complicated pilpul, this Ramah rather brings a number of individual pratim, and these individual pratim are a bunch of separate issues here in halacha. Okay, let's deal with the Ramah. Again, what happens is when you start a sugya, it's clear. And then when you start with all the conditions, it becomes complicated. Let's not lose what we have. We already have very clear psak. Recha milsehi l'chatchila, recha lav milsehi b'diavad. The exception is a tamar gadol, or if things are covered. There's another exception of shneim kchushim, which is shach aleph, which is not negat to us. We don't have dvarim kchushim except on Pesach. Maybe we'll get to discuss it. But basically, this is the rule. Now we start with the conditions. First, the Ramah starts, Hu adin basar imchalav nami dina hachi. Same thing, milchiks and fleishiks, the same thing. V'nayagin lahachmi lechatchila afilu b'taner gadol, u'b'diavid lahakil afilu b'taner katan. Ramah says that our minig is to be makel even by a taner gadol, lechatchila, to try to avoid the whole shayla, and to be machmel lechatchila. And according to this Ramah, the Prima Gadol anyway. Okay, good. Vim offer pass in basar. If you already baked bread, challah, with meat, this happens all the time. People are of Shabbos are baking and they stick in the challah together with the meat. Also, la'ich lo'im chalav, im yesh lo'i pasa acher. If you have other bread, You should not eat this bread together with chalav, as I said. Here, we're machmir lechatchila to consider a lechatchila even after it's already baked, if possible, to put it aside and eat it only with a fleishig meal. The chayim, im ayve kechavim af pasim iser, if the guy baked bread together with iser, and now it's already baked, aser liknais oisei pas im yesh pas acher. You should try not to buy from this guy. The chalzeh mikri lechatchila. Lagabi, these dinim, this is a lechatchila. Avalim ein lei pasacha berevach, if there's not enough bread to go around for the Jewish community, unless you buy by the guy. Mota b'shneyem, dezeh mikri lin yezeh b'di'eved, if bread is not available, so that's called a b'di'eved. People used to eat bread as a main part of the meal.
If
you warm it up, it's the same issue of reicha. It will be the same issue of reicha.
You'll be the same,
even though it's baked already. As long as it gets yatzilah this way, it would be the same issue of the same issue.
You're not supposed to make fleshy bread.
You said before the bread's not there.
You're not supposed to make fleshy bread. So somebody points out. I know, but there's someone here on the side. Points it out. Let's see. We'll find it. Yeshayimrim, another chumrah. The aimatir reicha filu b'di'eved elam kena tanra pesuach tzas min hatzad. The whole heta we have of reicha la milsa b'di'eved. There's a shita that's only if there's at least some sort of opening, at least min hatzad, which is inferior. Olamayla b'makom shoshen yaitzei or a chimney on top to be meikel. U'b'makom hefset ein lahachme b'di'eved. Here, the Ramah says that if you have a sealed oven, such as some of the microwave ovens, ovens that do not have any vent at all, in a sealed oven, we are going to be machmir, even b'di'evit, except b'hefse meruba, on reicha. Afilu sasam legamri, b'hefse meruba, even if it's totally sealed, it can be meikel. So we have here a number of chumras in the Ramah. Let's go through them. First, he said, even a taner gadol, should be machmir l'chatchila. Then he said that the definition of lechatchila is that the bread should be considered fleishik lechatchila, if it's possible. And third, that if it's a sealed tanner with no opening at all, that will machmer even be
the
other. A fourth issue.
The machaber said it has to be big and have an opening.
No, it has to be make a lechatchila. But the machaber said that without that, it's mutter be the other. And Ramah is saying that even be the other to be machmer. Another chumrah, fourth chumrah. If the iser is something that has charifus, the choshkin meheta davar charif, then reicha milsehi afilu b'di'evet aser mshnei megulim. If they're open foods, they're not covered, then even b'di'evet davar charif is aser. Now this is a very controversial chumrah. There are many paiskim that disagree with this, including the Aruch HaShulchan. They say the Gemara has a shakla v'tarya and asks some cases. It should answer, Shani Asam, it's talking about Adav Acharev. So there are those who are Mekel, and those who are Machmir, by Adav Acharev. Aval Me'echa Mehem Mechusa. But if one is covered, Afilu B'batek B'alma, even with dough, Mutter. Then you can be Mekel. They actually said this already in the Shulchan Aruch, I guess. It's B'di'evet Mutter. The Shach says,
What's the basis?
Oh, a dava charif. Because a dava charif, it's a kosh game because a dava charif. A dava charif, we say that if you cut an onion with a knife and a binyamai, the dava charif is machayel leil shvach. So the charifus itself certainly makes, it accents a very small taste. So if the heter is dava charif, it certainly accents taste, a tiny taste of this that it came into. But even if the dava charif is the thing giving the taste, that's a big chiddush that it gives taste.
Usually the heart is giving the taste.
Okay, so we have four chumris. Let's just move on. It was the custom that when you bake something in these big ovens, to take a pot, turn it upside down over the thing you're baking. I don't know what it did for it exactly. It kept the vapor in, kept it moist. They would put a pot upside down over it. If you put a pot upside down over
Isser and Heta together. So now you concentrate the Recha. Asar afilu b'diavet. It's a fifth Chumrah. Hu adinim afu b'kahigavna pas and basar. Same thing if you have bread and meat and you turn a keli upside down over the two of them. Asar lo ichlai b'chalav. It's asar. Avol b'zeh achazeh ein lochush. If it's one after the other in an oven, so finally Ramay, after five chumras, he tells us, Avol b'zeh achazeh, don't worry. Ela im kein hezia hamachvas mishneyan. Finally, we have the word zeya. Unless you know that the machvas, you took a pot, you turn it upside down over treifa meat, and you take out the treifa meat, you turn the same pot upside down over kosher meat, so it's mutter, there's no recha, zeacha, zeh, unless the zeya came up, the oz osra, filo bezeacha, zeh, ma yishnei magulim. Then it's also David Kikisa Shal Kedera. It's like you take the cover of a treifa pot and you put it over a kosher pot, that the Zeya combines it. Now this we have to stop and discuss because of the issue of Kisa. I said we do it at a quarter to, which is just right. So we're going to discuss what's going on with this Rama. We have not finished the Rama, but here comes the discussion of Zeya. Okay, let's see. The issue of the Zeya, what Moshe is suggesting, is that Zeya just means that it condenses and there's Be'en, not so posh. We already learned that Zeya is nice and tam. That Zeya is Mavliyateis. Now, the fact that Zeya is nice and tam is not disputable. It's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch in a number of places. There's no question that if I'm cooking chicken soup and right above the chicken soup in the steam I have a milch kapat, the steam of the chicken soup goes into the milch kapat and it makes the milch kapat fleishik, in other words, treif. Of that, there's no argument. The argument is, when do you say something is mazia and when don't you? It's certain that if you have a bubbling liquid, it gives off steam and it has a din of zeya. Nobody argues. It's certain that if you have something dry, if you have a challah that you're heating up in an oven, everyone agrees it's not maziah. Something which is drying, you toast something, it's not maziah. The question is where to draw the line in between the tremendous range of different foods that people have in a house. When is it maziah? When is it not maziah? It's a very, very difficult Shaila. If it's dry, it's not Maziah. If it's wet, it is Maziah. What's wet and what's dry? Rav Moshe points out that from the Shulchan Aruch here, it appears that regular meat is not necessarily Maziah. Because the Ramaz Lashon is, Ein Lochush, Ela Im Kein, Haziah HaMachvas Mishnayim. He's talking about a case, someone's doing something in an oven. He doesn't say, what? The whole Sim is talking about Basar. And he didn't give any other example of treifa things except us and the veila. And you take a pot, you put it upside down over it. Like, yeah, you call me with the shayla, it's certainly maziah. The zeya goes up, and the zeya is baylaya. And yet, the Ramaz Lashon is a Lashon that it's that we're not sure if it's maziah. Now, I mentioned to you in the past that there are many issues in halacha lemaisa where Rav Moshe had an influence on our generation, certainly in the United States, with certain psakim that in the 50s and the 60s, when they really were not Gedolei HaPoskim, they were Gedolei Torah, but not Gedolei HaPoskim or Rav Moshe's level in the United States. Certainly they were all Kaifif, the Das, as long as the Satmar Rebbe was alive, even the Chassidish world, there was a Kfiyas Hadas to Rav Moshe. It's said that the dispute over the IVF between the Satmar Rebbe and Rav Moshe took place. They had a serious machlokes over certain areas of in vitro fertilization, whether things are mutlach etchilim or tibetiyeved, and that distanced the Hasidic community from Rav Moshe's psakim very much. And the amazing thing about it is that today, in all Hasidic communities, they make it like Rav Moshe, no one's machmel like the Satmar Rebbe. IVF today is a fact of life. It's routinely done. from communities. And what? It was artificial insemination, and it has definitely, if you read the Samar Rebbe's writings, he holds that IVF is also an issue. And all of these things are practiced routinely today, and even issues of sperm donation and ovum donation. The lemaisa is that it's generally a case of shasat chak. No one gets into it except for a shasat chak. And without mentioning Ramesh's name, I can't say everyone, because I don't know the whole world, but I know issues that come by me that they are of Mekilim. And I know of a Satma couple that moved to England. And to their friends, they moved to England because of business opportunities, but they moved to England to be away from all the pressure and to have a child in ways that their community wouldn't approve of. And later they moved back, many years later they moved back.
It's called IUI.
And what?
It's called
IUI. There are many different types of the procedure. But I don't want to get into that discussion. What I mean to say is there are many areas we don't even realize Ramesh's influence in Psakim that he had. Some of them are known. Generally the Kulas are known. There are many Chumras. The fact that when we travel on Sukkot, in the Frum community, most of us, when we travel on Sukkot, we do not eat Mizainis or Maitzi out of a Sukkah. In amusement parks, they have Sukkot, and when you travel, you plan to go to a Sukkah. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not that way. In Eretz Yisrael, they say, what do you mean? Hochei drachim p'turim in a Sukkah. It's a Mishnah. You're traveling, you don't have a Sukkah. You don't Sukkah the way you are. You're potter. It's a Ferish Mishnah. And they're right. It's a Mishnah. It's a Shulchan Aruch. Ramesh came along. Ramesh said, that's talking about necessary traveling, business traveling. If you're going to visit a sick person, if you're going for entertainment, Ramesh said that's not hochei drachim p'turim in a sukkah. In Lomdis, Ramesh, I mean, it doesn't have perfect proofs to it. He has one raya to it, and Ramesh held that way. In the United States, it's pretty much the practice. You travel, you don't eat mezainis and hamaitzi out of a sukkah. That's Ramesh's influence. There are coolists that the same influence. When it comes to ovens, for example, you know, I got married and I learned Perek Palm. And we are chayshish v'zeya for everything except baked goods. When you're baking a challah, you're baking something, we don't consider it to be a mezia. You're roasting chicken, you're making a potato kugel with oil. We, basically, I say we, I don't say everybody, but generally, me, my chaverim, we are chayshish v'zeya. If they got married, Rav Zimmerman, Zecherno Levracha, was the paisik for the school in which my wife went. And she said that her teacher, her principals told her, Rav Zimmerman says that chicken's not mazia. So I said, I can't argue Rav Zimmerman. You know, he says, it's a davayame, chicken is dry, and it's not mazia. And he held that chicken's not mazia. I can't say he's wrong. Let me read to you, I brought the dafka Ramesh's Lashon of his tshuva regarding our ovens. Where was it? He says the following. I'm reading from Digres Maishi Eredeya Simina Chelik Aleph Simin Mem, and it's definitely a kedai to learn the whole tshuva. It's not a very long tshuva here on the computer printout. It's two sides. And Simin Mem Eredeya Aleph. Listen to his lashon regarding our Ramah. He says, "Im haya zaya." Ramesh writes, "Ein lahatil levashel tavshel basa v'tavshel cholam megulin af bezach hazel l'sman meruba." He says, "If they're open, you should not bake in the same oven open fleishiks and open melachiks." Avol misupakni im chayshishin b'stama l'zaya. He says, "I'm not sure. Do you have to be chayshish that every food you put in is mazia?" The lashon haramah simin kol chesif aleph. Shekasa bezeze ein lochush elam kain hezia hamachbas mishneim does also afilu bezeze ma yishneim megulim. That's lashon the Ramah. Mashma the bestama ein lochush lezeya elam kain yedua the hezia mishneim. Stama zay you don't have to be chayshish lezeya unless you know it's mazia. So kremaisha aval efsher the petanurim elu perhaps in our ovens shestumim begad v'gaisalim which have a roof and walls. I don't know what the old ovens had. Vadai mazia, or yosen noita sheyazia. Ramesh says in our ovens, it's certainly mazia, or at least it's yosen noita that is mazia. Ulechen yesh lahachmin lamaisa. Shalai levashel bahataner kedeirais begulais. Not to bake in our oven, open. That's all he says. Doesn't bring any rayas to this. He says not to bake in our oven kedeirais begulais. Uvidiyevek even shuusafik ain lesser imhaya acher meislais. So b'diavad, I'm not going to ask her if 24 hours passed. Habliya, nice and tamlef gone. The bliya is gone. Umetzad cheshash shem and nafel mehazeh shebe'en eizat tipais. What are you worried? There's some drippings of the chicken, of the steam, that there's a little bit of grease there. Hu yaisa mishishim. Lefi ha-mestaber yaisa. It's mestaber that it's less than a 60th. Vikimishu rak safik, yikis svek svek, yishom aloi hayazeh, vavim hayazeh, yishom nafel rak tipais, yikashishim negdan kemestaber. This is very machmir. He's machmir on the Zaya to say that even b'di'evet toich meis la'eis he asks. After meis la'eis, he says he could be mekel. That's meis la'eis. If it's be'en, it's less than a 60th. He should add. It's also suffic if it burnt up, whatever there was in the heat of the oven, and therefore he's mekel. And this is the psak that I think in all circles. I can't say all, but in as far as I know, most circles do not treat the ovens as usable for fleishik simelach. Because there are people who say, and I hear this, I'm a yeshiva, it's young married couples, the first time, in their house, usually their parents already have a bigger house, they have fleishik oven, a milch oven, they get married, they have a small apartment with one oven. Sometimes they come to me with a guilty look, they're renting an oven with one sink. Like a yid can't have an oven with one sink, what do they do? So I tell them that, not too long ago, everybody had one sink, right? We all remember. One sink, one oven. So they always say they heard that you just wait 24 hours in between, and then you can be mekel, l'chatchila. Now, if the person who said this was a paisik, I could hear it. He would say, look, we're not sure it's maziah. We're not sure. It's yaisa noita, according to what it says in the Ramadan, it's not maziah. So, all right, when it's a shiloh of a ben yaimai, we're going to be machmir. Eina ben yaimai is a b'diavad mutter anyway. So when it's an eina ben yaimai, what? And we're talking about melachos and fleishiks. So if somebody's going to tell me that the paisik paskin from this way, I can't argue with him. But I will tell you that ruba de ruba of the paiskim today, certainly in our circles, I don't know the minig, but the chassidish circles, I think there as well, the ruba de ruba, they say make the oven fleishik, make the oven melachik, and that's that. I'll leave it that way, and that's all. And that is our minhag. Like Ramosha's chumra, you'll tell me it's a chumra yaseira. It's hard for me to argue with you. In the Madi Shulchan, he brings the Sigris Moshe in his both in Bas Bechovis in the Tzadik Beis and here in Kuf Ches, and he says that what's his raya? Where's their raya from? What's his he say he's I don't know. I don't think he's mekel, but I think he said tzarechiyim. Make a lemaisa. What? All megula. All mechusa we had twice. We had mechab. We had to get in the Ramah. Mechusa is mutter. Talking megula. The easiest way is to cover one or the other. But right. Because the bliya, the zaya is going to bring the bliya down into the food. The bliya is more than a 60. The ed is less than a 60. So this is the chum. Now, mechusa, you can do anything. But now let me explain about the same time. Now listen very carefully because it's something people get confused about. What? So let me explain. If you cover something, you prevent the zeya from going. If you're cooking zachar zeh, you have a fleishig oven, you want to heat up a pizza, you wrap it up and you stick it in, no problem. You have to be careful, you put it down, you shouldn't put it down on chicken grease. So that's why we tell people to double wrap it or put a piece of aluminum and put it in the pizza. You can warm it l'chatchila, there's no problem. However, be careful. The heter of mechusa does not apply if at the same time you're cooking a chicken and it's open. You say, none of us will put in a pizza at the same time to warm. But you want to put in a pizza to warm. That pizza is not going to be, it's not going to be so poshut. Because when you're going to put it in, it's going to, the zeya is going to make the aluminum foil fleishik, and now the pizza is touching the aluminum foil. Now this is why we always say double wrap. Why double wrap? Because by wrapping it twice, even if the Zaya hits the outside one. Now, most of the cases, you don't have to double wrap, but the Derech of the Poskim became, because the ladies in the house, they don't remember this case, that case, we just say always double wrap. It's just interesting. Technically, if you take aluminum foil, and you're told to double wrap a pizza, and you go like this, and you go again like this, not good enough. Because the bliya travels through the keli. And as you go through, you have to cut it, and do it a second time, and that's adequate. I heard recently that certain Poskim in a certain community are saying that aluminum foil is not a keli, and it's thin, and I think it's Chumri Yaseir, all the Poskim I ever spoke to consider it to be a keli, and to be a hefsik what? They're saying that the aluminum foil doesn't count as a keli. I don't know why, but to me, aluminum foil is a keli, and no, I mean for what we're talking about. So I hope I'm being clear. I'll take the question. I just hope that there's a. I'm being clear about something that's a little bit confusing about the dinam of Zaya. What? Microwave oven, you can double wrap something, and you can put it even into a tray of oven. Next week, in Yitzhak Shem, we'll try to finish the subject.